All right, so we're looking at the second part of our Proverbs 25, verses 5 to 16. The glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And the little subtitle is, Know How You Ought to Behave Yourself in the House of God. It seems like this section is very much connected to the idea of repentance and how God works within the house of God, which is called the house of mourning. And we're blessed to know that because the 10 second sinner's prayer implies that you don't have to die daily. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth your presence, yourself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, Come up hither, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. Go not forth hastily to strive, lest you know not what to do in the end thereof, when your neighbor has put you to shame. Debate the ca thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another. Lest he that hears it puts thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As a colt of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bones. Have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you, lest you be filled therewith and vomit it. One sec. God has called the elect to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. It is the long-suffering spirit of God working within the body of Christ that is required in order for us to become overcomers, or a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. It is the glory of God to conceal this process of overcoming from the world. And it is the honor of kings to search out this matter. That's the laboring to enter into that rest. This unsearchable matter by the Spirit of God, the Comforter that is able to lead us into all truth that will set us free if we are granted to continue in it. John 16, verse 13 is extremely encouraging. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So God will prepare our hearts. He will show us. He will prepare us. And if there's evil in the city, it's of the Lord, but he will also, says, he will warn the elect. He'll prepare our hearts for our trials and everything, even the things that happen in this world. The Lord will steel the hearts of his people. John 8:31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Comforter will lead us into all truth, and it will set us free. Solomon's prayer for the physical temple found in 1 Kings 8, verses 22 to 36, is a type and shadow event that describes what God is answering for the temple of God that we are today. And just verse 32 of Luke in particular. But I've prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So he's praying for the temple that we are, that the Lord would build it, and he's telling us that it will get built. because Satan's hand will be stayed and strength will be strengthened through Christ. So this is a type and shadow prayer of Solomon, 1 Kings 8, verses 27 to 29. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have builded? Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which your servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, My name shall be there, that you may hearken unto the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place. 1 Corinthians 3:16. This is the place. Know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? In order to become a part of the pillar and ground of the truth, or a pillar in the temple of my God, we must go through this long-suffering process ordained of the Master Potter and not despise it, seeing it is the way by which the bride will be made ready. This section of Proverbs gives us some very instructive and clear reminders to the body of Christ as to how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that's that long-suffering spirit which is mentioned in Romans 2, 4 that we'll look at. If I tarry long, you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. So it's a process. It takes time, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Revelation 3:12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. So that long-suffering spirit, but if I tarry long, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, that process, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So you're making us solid pillars in his service, and it takes time. Before we read the verses for our study today, let's look at the prayer in Solomon's dream. Now, this is another prayer of Solomon, but this is the one he had in his dream, and that prayer that Solomon was inspired to make for the temple itself. Both of those. What we'll see is that in type and shadow, Solomon is praying for the church, the temple which we are, and asking God to know how we ought to walk in the midst of our brothers and sisters in Christ. The first thing to notice is that we will not ask anything amiss, and we will, but we will less and less if we're granted to be dead to sin and alive in Christ, which is typified by Solomon's being asleep when God inspired his selfless prayer for the nation of Israel, who represents the Israel of God. Romans 6, verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Death is likened unto a sleep, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 6:16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. Know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. 1 Kings 3, verses 5 to 10. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto your servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And you have kept for him this great kindness that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king, and thy servant king instead of David, my father. But I am but a child, a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. These words I put down symbolize in 1 Corinthians 1:26 what it is to say, he says, I am but a little child. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which you have chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. That's the innumerable multitude. It's a shadow of that, of the rest of the world. Our calling is ultimately for the multitudes who will be saved. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? Remember, we're talking about how do we walk in the house of God? How do we conduct ourselves? Well, it's about learning judgment, learning how to judge a matter through Christ. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, Solomon asked this prayer because it was inspired, not because Solomon was just this. I thought, if I just asked the right prayer and so wanted to ask humbly before the Lord, what would you have me do? And that's good. But the more mature way of looking at it, of course, is knowing that the Lord is causing these things for our sakes. And he is showing us what he is going to do in the life of the elect. He's going to give us such prayers and make us realize that we're more than conquerors through Christ. David is a type of Christ. And you remember what he said about David, his accolades of his father. David's a type of Christ, and Solomon a type of the body of Christ, who will do greater works than Christ, John 14, verse 12, by way of building the temple, which is symbolic of converting the life of those that God draws to the body of Christ, represented by Solomon. Solomon is asking an old covenant letter of the law terms to teach me that I may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And what Christ told us to do is to, well, we're called to be a joint that supplies and to feed the lambs and to feed the sheep. And that's how the temple's built up. We're built up by our communion that we have within the body of Christ, the body and the blood of Christ. The second part of this is, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth? Now, this was his prayer for the temple. And again, the temple is the body of Christ. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven. It is before the altar, which is the cross, where we must stand if we are going to be pillars of our God in his temple. And that's key. The altar is a cross. Our communion is in Christ, the body and the blood of Christ, knowing we are called to fill up what's behind of the afflictions of Christ. That strengthens us so we become that pillar, that solid pillar. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there's no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath who keeps covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Who has kept with thy servant David, my father, that you promised him? You spake also with your mouth and have fulfilled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Therefore, now, Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David, my father, that you promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel. And I have many are called and few are chosen. The few that are sitting on that typical throne of Israel are the elect who are raised in heavenly places. We're seated in heaven with Christ and our Father and each other, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be you followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And again, it's typical language, but that's what he's saying. And that's what we know. This is what this means because it was written for our sakes. And now, God of Israel, let thy word, I pray thee, be verified, which you spaketh unto thy servant David, my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God. to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house, this body of Christ, night and day. All of our prayers are so precious, night and day, even toward the place of which you have said, my name shall be there, that you may hearken unto the prayer which your servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of your servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven, thy dwelling place, and when you heareth, forgive. John 17, verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, Christ said, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. And that is all of the body of Christ. And that's how we're doing that work. We're believing and we're being given faith-filled prayers that are holding up the body of Christ. If any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked, to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous, to give him according to his righteousness. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy, because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn against to thee, and confess thy name, and pray, and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel, and bring them again unto the land which you gave unto their fathers. It's another way of saying, confess your faults, and you just only confess your iniquities, and God will forgive us. Or despise thou his riches and of his forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. When heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, if they pray toward this place and confess your name, your words, and turn from their sin when you afflict them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel, that you teach them to teach them the good way wherein they should walk. And if that's our title, know how you ought to behave. And see, so how to walk is all centered around God's goodness that's leading us on to repentance. And this is what Solomon was crying out for the body of that day, for his people. But this is the prayer for us today, for the body of Christ, to know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. And give rain upon thy land, which you have given to thy people for an inheritance. And again, Romans 2:4. Verses 5. Oops. Verses 5-7. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. Put not forth in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men. For better it is that it be said unto thee, come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen. These first three verses give the critical message of identifying the wicked within ourselves and the need to take it away from before Christ the King, and then shall his throne within us be established. We must not put forth thyself in the presence of the King and stand not in the place of great. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. And we do this, which is accomplished by resisting the devil and cleaving unto God, humbling ourselves under his mighty hand. If God will permit us this spirit, then we will hear his voice telling us, come up hither. If we are to be raised in heavenly places today, we must be lying dead in the streets of that great city, spoken of in Revelation 11, verse 11. If we're boasting in our flesh, we will be put lower in the presence of the prince whom thine eyes have seen, in the lake of fire, ultimately, if we don't repent. Great white throne judgment. Judging ourselves today will result in our being chastened of the Lord, abasing us in this age so that we can be exalted in the next. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, etc. Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 31 and 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, so we will be, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. James 4, verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Matthew 23, verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. Verse 8, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when your neighbor has put you to shame. If we're going in the way that seems right to us in our flesh, we will end up being put to shame by those who see that we tried to build something by our own strength that never came to fruition in the first resurrection. And that's what Paul said in Philippians 3:9. He knew this was his struggle, and he knew that was the body struggle. So he taught that ferociously. He kept saying, listen, this is what it is. This is what we need to understand. It's the Lord doing the work. We have to die daily. We are going to be scarcely saved, but it's going to be by the righteousness of Christ. So we want to identify when we're operating in our flesh and repent of that. Only God can give us the power to stop trusting in our flesh, and that's the other point, and to continue to rely on Him for everything, which is what will happen when we stop going forth hastily to strive. And that's just a hard lesson that is an ongoing lesson for all of us. And God's merciful to show us that as well. It takes the ongoing trial of our faith in order to make that a reality in the lives of God's elect. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Great. That's all we got to do. I used to read that and think, that sounds easy enough, but it's not easy. That's why the flesh has to be put off. 2 Corinthians 1:9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 to 26, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. And that's how you cover a multitude of sins. And ultimately, God is the one who sets the stage for that to happen with the body of Christ. And ultimately, that's the stage he's going to set in the lake of fire to deliver the innumerable multitude through that very same process. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's such an incredible promise. And I know when I'm not close to these verses, my peace goes out the window, and I know, Lord, I'm not doing something right. And this is generally the reason why I'm losing my peace, because I'm not showing moderation. I'm not doing something right, and the Lord is merciful to show me that. Be careful for nothing, and committing our ways unto the Lord will resolve that every single time. Verse 9 and 10. Debate your cause with your neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that hears it puts thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away. In other words, don't be a talebearer. Go to your brother and him alone. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you have gained your brother. If that's God's will, then that brother will hear you. If we gossip and don't cover each other's sins by going to our brother, the Lord will expose that immature spirit within us, and it will humble us in one matter or another, lest he who hears you should embarrass you when your gossip cannot be retracted. That's the CLV. Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. How we go to our brother who is ensnared of the devil with a spiritual sin is with a humble and contrite heart. And then our words will be fitly spoken like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The gold represents the tried word of God that is framed with silver, that represents someone who has a humble and contrite heart and knows they are the chiefest sinners and capable of any sin, but for the grace of God go we. Malachi 3 verses 2 to 6. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold. So there's your silver and gold and silver. Proverbs 25:11, in other words, and Jeremiah 5:14. So to what end? So that his words would be in our mouth as fire, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And I put down Isaiah 33, verses 14 to 15. It's saying the same thing. He that walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he that despises the gain of oppressions, that shakes his hands from the holding of bribes, that stops his ears from hearing. Well, how do we get to that point of doing all those things? It's becoming comfortable in the fire. It's exactly what we're reading here in Malachi 2, verses 2 to 4 or so. So the process has to happen for us to get comfortable there. And I will come near to you to judgment. Oh, I'm sorry, Malachi 3, 4. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem, the body of Christ, which this represents, be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the things we are struggling with. God will deal with them, and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages. And outwardly, he'll do that as well. He'll protect us, the widow and the fatherless, and the turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. We're not consumed in that fire. Just what needs to be consumed is consumed, because God is the, as I say, the great metallurgist. He knows how to give us our trials lovingly, cleansing the temple. Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. James 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. 1 Peter 4, 8, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, there it is, shall cover the multitude of sins. So hiding a multitude of sins and covering them, it's the same thing, and it happens as a result of God's mercy and his leading us unto repentance and our learning how to walk in the house as the Lord guides us and leads us. Verses 12 and 13. An earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, a wise reprover upon an obedient ear, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, a faithful messenger, so is a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Our goal in going to our brother is to be a faithful messenger to them that sent him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters, which is another way of saying we are winning our wayward brother by pulling them out of the fire, the negative fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh of Jude, chapter 1, verse 23 and to 25, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now, it's just another way of saying that if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be set free. Indeed. And that's, we're not just saving ourselves, but those who hear us. Ultimately, we're doing that for each other if God gives us obedient ears. But we're learning that process so that when the resurrection comes, we're ready and we know that we have the, we're equipped with the tools, the mind of Christ that will make that all possible. And of course, it's God's timing because none of the world will truly repent during the 1,000-year reign, but they will be witnessed to. If God permits an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, we will be found in both parties. The one will, oh, sorry. If God permits an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, will be found in both parties, the one being led and listening to the voice of the shepherd who leads us to be our brother's keeper, and God permitting, the brother will be granted ears that hear Christ's message to repent, represented by one who has an obedient ear, an ear that has been anointed and able to receive correction. Revelation 3, verses 18 to 22, I counsel you to buy me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. And white raiment that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And we often cite Hebrews 12:6 there because it's saying the same thing. God chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. That's the communion that we have, the body and the blood of Christ. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, the same way, by the same power. And I'm set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And not very many people have that ear. It's a very precious gift. That Christ said, you've been given eyes to see and ears to hear. The loving care we show to each other by going to our brother is interestingly connected with the snow and winter when there's nothing happening in our lives spiritually. Yet God says, because we are sent as faithful messengers, as Christ was sent into our lives, our actions will be as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, the harvest being the time of judgment when the wheat is separated from the tares. And where the cold of snow is the refreshing water in the heat of the day. Proverbs 25, verse 13 in the ERV. A messenger that can be trusted is worth much to the people who send him. He's like cool water during the hot days of harvest. Matthew 13, verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather you together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. 2 Peter 3, verses 9 to 12. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Acts 3, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And verse 14 to 16, whoso boasts himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you, lest you be filled therewith and vomit it. There's a warning in these verses that speaks about swallowing down this honey, these riches he gifts us with, to become waxen fat and turn unto other gods, leaning unto our own understanding with this knowledge that we can get puffed up with. Job 20, verse 15. He that swallows down riches, and he shall vomit them up again, God shall cast them out of his belly. Deuteronomy 31, 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. And there is a time when we live that. We lose our first love. But it's a warning ongoing. God's word is, was, and will be. 1 Corinthians 8, verses 1 and 2. Thou is touching things offered unto idols. We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And if any man think he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. So that's the attitude that God's working in the body of Christ. He wants a humble and meek bride who recognizes everything has come from him. Like David said, we're giving back to you that which you've given us. And another verse is in Luke where he says, we're unprofitable servants who did that which is expected of us, because it's Christ working in us both to will and to do. This whole section of Proverbs that we've looked at today has been very centered around humility and repentance, and how that is an integral part of how we walk in the house of God. It is with that humble and contrite spirit, a gift from God, that we learn to bear long with the infirmity of our brother. And in God's perfect timing, by long suffering is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone, which breaking of bones symbolizes a turning of our stony hearts to repentance. It also symbolizes a new foundation, the bones of Christ, and none of Christ's bones were broken. So we want those bones. Once we see it in ourselves, we are able to help our brother. Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. If we do not operate in the measure of faith that God gives us, we will be operating in our flesh, which is as one who so boasts himself of a false gift, is like clouds and wind without rain. The rain representing the Spirit of God, the gift of faith that comes with that Spirit. This last verse, have you found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for you, lest you be filled therewith and vomit it, is also speaking about the measure of faith that we need and being grateful for what God supplies, knowing that He knows our needs and is teaching us to be content whether we have a little or a lot. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, but he that had gathered little had no lack. Exodus 16, verse 18. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. Romans 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Philippians 4, verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God will always provide what each joint needs to supply, so that we learn how a many-membered body works together for the church to grow, in order that we may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is a church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. John 13, verse 35. But this, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And that's our study for tonight. Thank you all for coming out. Oh, that was edifying.